Hello, this is T. Hoffman, your host for Baker Radio at NashvilleNetRadio.com. We're Music City Talks Online, and we're here today on our third segment with Kelly Frey. Kelly is a shareholder in the firm's Nashville office, and he's a member of our IP technology practice area. And Kelly, I know you've worked for over 25 years in this particular area, not only with technology, but with licensing and procurement, all areas that touch the technology area. And I believe in your practice group, we have over 25 lawyers who are in the tech area, which is probably the largest of any firm within our region as far as the number of lawyers that we have practicing in this area. And we have those spread out over our 15 offices. I don't think we have a tech lawyer in every office, but certainly we have them in most of our offices. Can you give me a feel for some of the areas that the 25 lawyers practice in? Do you each have your own specialty area? Can you all do everything, be everything to everybody? How does it work?
Well, between all of us, what we try to do is cover everything tech. And you're right. We have a whole host of lawyers who are in our different offices. Realistically, it doesn't make any difference where you're physically located anymore. We're all mobile. We all have our laptops. We can log in at any point. We can use the telephone. And it's really too expensive for our business clients to have personal meetings anymore with some of their vendors. So we have to do everything virtually. Some of our tech lawyers have been involved in some of very large transactions. We just finished a deal that was almost $500 million related to outsourcing all of the technology for an international company. And that was interesting because all the vendors that that client was using had to learn how to work and play well together. It wasn't just a matter.
I imagine that was a challenge.
It was a big challenge. It took a whole host of our lawyers, and many firms who don't have multiple attorneys with the skill set could not do a project like that.
Yeah. And they would not get a project like that because they don't have those lawyers.
They just don't have the bandwidth for something that intense in a very short time period. We also just helped a foreign client purchase the genomics division of a publicly traded U.S. company, and we did that in conjunction with our D.C. office. So that was fun because we got to use some of our technical background in biology as well as information technology.
And you talked about that in our first segment, how you had done some biology work at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's really difficult if you're a lawyer, if you don't have that sort of background, to get involved in these transactions and understand the real practical business problems our clients have.
Another thing you mentioned was working with our D.C. office. And I think sometimes our listeners don't understand how important our D.C. office is for our firm. Our D.C. office really keeps their fingers on the pulse of what's happening on Capitol Hill. We have advocates right there on Capitol Hill that can help our clients. And I think it makes a tremendous difference in what we're able to do in our other offices.
Well, it does. And as well as giving us a presence there on the Hill in Washington, it also provides us the ability to monitor legislation and to influence it sometimes on the way. And not necessarily in a lobbying perspective, but to give the underlying basis for why certain regulations need to be passed or why certain regulations need to be limited. And we do that because of our experience in this area.
And it certainly helps us to keep our clients proactively involved in what's pending.
Well, exactly. And again, we draw upon our expertise not only as lawyers, but in other areas as well. For example, we have a lawyer in Nashville, Betty Steele, mm-hmm. who's a certified information system security professional, CISSP. There are very few attorneys who have both the legal credential and the technology credential.
I think we did a search on that, and there were less than five in the country.
Exactly. And it's very difficult to understand, for example, a security breach, unless you have that sort of technology.
Right. And the CISSP designation is not something that's easy to get. In fact, I know it's a 7-prong designation that requires them to learn every aspect of what a company might need in the area of privacy and security, from the way that their landscaping is done and building is laid out, all the way to the way their software agreements are written.
Well, exactly. And it's not just a matter of taking an exam. You've got to actually have 5 years of practice experience in order to get the certification.
So Betty is certainly an expert and certainly a great addition to our technology group.
Well, exactly. And then, we also have people like Steve Wood, who was a former owner of a software company, an e-commerce company. So, I mean, he actually understands the practical business issues our clients have.
And the interesting thing, in my opinion, about Steve is that he's entrepreneurial. So he understands why some of these folks are willing to take the risk that they've taken in order to get their company started. But he also has the legal training to help them minimize those risks so they can do this stuff safely.
Right. And he acts as a great catalyst with respect to the Nashville venture capital community.
Now, when you think about our regionality, you talked about that earlier, and it's obviously helpful that we have the regional depth and breadth of expertise, but do you think that it also enables us to build a national platform of clients in the tech area?
Well, that's exactly what we've done. And what we find is because of the virtual nature of the law practice that we do, typically the lawyers on the other side of our deals are not Nashville lawyers. They're lawyers in New York or California. And so what we do is we try to build upon this regional expertise and the body of knowledge that we have on behalf of our clients. And if a client that we have has been accustomed to hiring New York lawyers and paying New York rates, they're really surprised and pleased when they come to Baker.
They get the same level, in most cases, of expertise, we believe, and certainly we can't hold ourselves out to be better than anybody else that's positioned in the same space, but we believe they get good quality legal service, and they get it at a lower cost by coming to our region.
Well, and obviously we're able to do that because of the cost structure. We don't have
location,
to pay.
Location, location, location.
Right. None of these Manhattan rental rates anymore.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Now, I know that procurement and licensing have always been hot issues in your field. And a lot of people don't understand how that relates to technology necessarily or an IP practice, but licensing is obviously an important part. Everybody knows that, you know, there was a time when you would get software and you would load it onto 10 computers. Obviously, you're not supposed to do that, and the software industry has become savvy enough to not allow that to happen anymore. But tell us a little bit about licensing and procurement and the process that companies need to go through and why they might need your expertise in these two areas.
Sure. And procurement is a little bit broader than the tech area. Obviously, people talk about buying technology. So for the most part, actually, you don't buy technology. You license it. You license the ability to use a software application, for example, for a limited time and for a limited purpose. So that's really why you need the lawyers. You have to be very careful as a user that you get everything you need, but you only pay for what you use or really need.
Right.
And as far as procurement is concerned, not only do we do software and hardware, but we do anything that a company needs to stay in business. So, for example, we might help a Fortune 100 client lease an ocean-going cruise ship for an annual meeting.
Wow.
Or hire Mick Jagger for their shareholders. Or something as mundane as helping them get outsourcing of their cafeteria service for 10,000 employees.
Wow, so that's interesting.
It's a very broad scope.
And the procurement industry has grown tremendously. I mean, I think more companies are going to a procurement model. Would you agree with that?
I would. And it's based really upon the compliance environment that they're having to operate in right now. Most of the publicly traded companies are subject to SOX compliance. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole structure in place to help as far as their ethics and compliance officers. In fact, on Friday, I'm going to be in Chicago giving a presentation to the Ethics and Compliance Officers Association about procurement standards. And we're actually trying to create some standards as well as help our individual clients.
And I know you mentioned SOX. We recently did a radio show with Tanya Grinden, who is the co-chair of our Securities and Corporate Compliance Department, and she talked a little bit about Sarbanes-Oxley as well. But you wrote an article about Sarbanes-Oxley just recently, and it was interesting being written by a tech guy. You know, tell me how you interface with our other practice groups and why your involvement in SOX is important and why it's important for your clients to understand it.
Well yeah. For example, most of the CFOs and CEOs that are going to have to sign off on SOX compliance,
right,
they don't really understand the technology that underlies it. Their context is different. Same way with the technologists. They don't understand what it means for a CFO to have to sign off on financials and what that requires mentally in order to say, okay, I know what transactions have occurred. I can audit those transactions. I've got control processes in place so that I can understand exactly what's happening, and I've got security in place to make sure that nobody else understands what my business is, so I'm not leaking information all the time.
So you're trying to bridge those.
Exactly. And again, having technology lawyers who specialize in this area, it's very helpful as far as bridging the different language sets that corporate officials use from what technologists use.
And I think Baker Donaldson is fortunate to have as many practice groups as we have them working so well together and sharing that kind of information. Kelly, we're going to come back in just a minute and talk to you a little bit about your experience at Baker Donaldson, your community involvement, and kind of how you got to Baker. People can look at your bio at www.bakerdonaldson.com. It's Kelly Frey, Frey, under our attorney page. We'll be back in just a moment at Baker Radio.